How can some achieve things in days that it takes others to achieve in months? How can some break through the higher levels of income, success, and achievement while others are stuck in their present situation? These are the questions that the Life Hacking Podcast aims to answer. You see, life hacking isn't about a shortcut or a cheat code. It's about proven strategies, tactics, tools, ideas, principles, and frameworks to accelerate achievement in business and in life. After all, what good is an extraordinary business if you don't have an extraordinary life? It's time to have both. Welcome to the Life Hacking Podcast. Find the moment and make it. Write your headline and raise it to the sky. Welcome everybody to this week's episode for the Life Hacking Podcast. So excited that you are here. And I'm actually really thrilled about today's podcast because I have a guest on today that has a powerful book that's out there and is a powerful example of what he teaches. And it was somebody that I met not too long ago, about 18 months ago. We had an opportunity to speak together at a conference, and unfortunately it fell through because of COVID. So we had planned the conference, that's I think in March of 2020, and we weren't able to actually do the conference. So let me introduce Brad Harker, the author of Influence. How you doing, Brad?
Good. It's great to be with you, Eric. Thank you.
Appreciate you joining. Do you remember those days when we were sitting there planning this event that we were going to hold and speaking what we're going to talk about, and all of a sudden COVID hit?
It blew up. That's the first time I reflected on, that was kind of the first thing that, the first event that COVID blew up for me. So yeah, I remember it well. It was setting up to be awesome though. So
I agree. And I was excited. And sometime we probably ought to maybe revisit that again and get on the stage together, because I'd love to be able to speak with you, knowing your background and the things that you're doing now, which is actually, your life has changed in the past 18 months or so, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been exciting. It's crazy how fast it's gone. But yeah, I'm excited to dig in with you.
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted Brad on was the fact that he wrote a book about influence. And influence is probably one of the most powerful attributes that you can have. I should say skills. It's something that's learned, and influence takes relationships, takes leadership well beyond what it could normally be. I mean, we talk a lot about sales and we talk a lot about marketing and advertising, but really influence trumps those things. Influence really sort of is at the top of that hierarchy in terms of the ability to connect with an individual and have somebody trust you and build trust and rapport so that that you can positively influence them to take an action or do something in their life that would help benefit their life. So I want to ask you, Brad, I mean, tell me about this experience. I mean, writing a book is not an easy thing to do. Why influence, and how did this book come about?
Yeah, thank you. And you know, it's funny, I was speaking at an event last night and I was going through some old pictures. I was trying to find some pictures of an early stage in my life. And I came across this little card that I had written on. And it was a book, and it was actually the outline of a book. I think I wrote this when I was about 17. And it was, I wish someone had told me that. And I think it was one of the first times in my life that I had just really understood just how many things I felt like I was missing out on, or how many lessons I'm like, oh my gosh, I learned that the hard way. I think I always knew that that was in my direction. I was always very ambitious and I was always very future oriented. So as I kind of looked back, like I think I distinctly remember some of the first books that I read, you know, from my dad's shelf. I don't know, I read the Hardy Boys, but I wasn't a big reader, but I was always fascinated. And I think definitely due to just adversity in my life, I was very much kind of a future dreamer. And I gravitated to books like Think and Grow Rich and just a few of the books I found on my dad's shelf. And that was always where my mind was. And I was very, very entrepreneurially, just kind of, I think it was something that was in my DNA. And so I remember distinctly just seeing notes of books that I wanted to write when I was older, just thinking, man, these topics are amazing. I love this stuff. And as I went through my career and in sales and in entrepreneurship and graduated from school, I started to realize that there was this void. There were so many things that I wasn't learning, but that I was gaining in real life experience. And then I looked and I saw companies and leaders and people that I was inspired by, and they all had similar attributes. And as I really started to look at those, and then I was in real estate myself, and I just kind of hit pause and I said, what am I doing? I mean, what am I really, what is the contribution that I want to make? It all just led to this, take a year off and start writing and just start putting this together. And the moment I just started writing. I remember dictating notes on my phone while I was driving. And I just remember just this flood just began. And I was a horrible writer. I literally ranked in the bottom quarter of all applicants to BYU. I mean, it was bad, bad. And I hated that class. That was my sleeper class for sure. But with some good editors and of course a second edition, it just finally came to become this idea. And influence is a fancy word for, like you said, leadership and selling and the way that we inspire and connect people. And I just found these 33 segments of influence that I found consistent. And I just felt like this was my platform. And so I wrote, and it's just been a crazy journey since.
So. Isn't it amazing that you took a year off? You basically sacrificed a year of your career or potentially making money to stop and write a book. And when you did that, all of a sudden, inspiration flowed. And we talk a lot about the principle of burning the boats behind you. And I see that that's kind of what you did, is you burnt those boats. And it's amazing when you step up and make a sacrifice like that. And obviously, you felt pulled towards it. And there was a reason why you did that. And you stepped up to the plate. And I've met so many entrepreneurs that have had that similar experience. I mean, I left my career to start a business. I left my comfortable job when I was younger, walked off on my own. It was not easy, but it was amazing. When you have that level of commitment and faith, it's unbelievable what can happen. And the fact that that inspiration just sort of poured through you, to me, is evidence of that principle of what really happens when you take one or two or three steps in the darkness. One of my favorite quotes is, sometimes you have to jump off the cliff and then find your wings on the way down. So tell me about that year. I mean, how was that? Just writing that book and having that inspiration flow. I mean, how did you get the content? How did you structure that? You mentioned 33 different items that you learned about that you had put into your book. Tell me about that.
Well, and I think even in the second edition, I think I took way too many liberties in terms of what I probably should have called it something different, because it was quite a shift. But I think for me, like, what it really comes down to is I've always been really passionate about selling, and I've always been really passionate about just innovation and entrepreneurship and how those connect. So I've always been curious, like, how people tick and how to really connect with people and inspire people. And so it's definitely kind of along that premise, but I also am fueled by this, like, what is my purpose? Like, what really drives me? And frankly, like, it's not, I always hate to say it, like, because it's not as easy. In fact, that journey of stepping three steps into the dark is still happening today. I mean, it's such a journey to really kind of break into that world and then to truly kind of break free. And it's not for the faint of heart, but there's a reason that people do it, especially when you feel called. And so that journey was brutal. Like, I mean, it's one thing to write your book, but it's another thing to then go out there and share it with the world, especially if you have any element of trauma or adversity in your life. Just, it's so easy to just see one review and be like, oh my gosh, what am I even doing? So it really kicked off a very different journey for me in terms of not only just content creation and coaching and mentorship, but then refining that content, but also really finding your audience and then finding your voice inside to say, you know, I've got to put myself out there now. And I have this, you know what I mean? And so it wasn't just 1 year. It's been a continued journey, but I look back on that book and I honestly, like, when I finished recording the audible, I literally was like, I couldn't contain my emotions. It's almost spiritual in the sense of, like, I was supposed to do that. I don't know how I put that together. I have no idea. Great editing, great editors, but I have no idea how I did it. But it felt like a very kind of inspired journey.
I love that. And sometimes we think that when we step a little bit into the darkness and we do something that we know that we're being pulled to, like I mentioned earlier, we think that that it's going to be easy. And I'm sure those emotions were from the fact that you know what you had to go through to get there, that it wasn't easy. And unfortunately, in our society, we see overnight successes, right? But one of my favorite sayings is that you're rewarded in public for what you do in private. In other words, they don't see the times when you're up till midnight just trying to pull the next piece of content for your next chapter, or you're writing when you don't want to, and you want to spend time with your kids or your family, or you're just, I'm sure there's times in your journey you just got tired of it. Like, how did you push through those times when everything else was screaming, okay, stop, let's try something else? I mean, how many times did you hit those roadblocks before you finally had that awesome experience of finishing?
Yeah, no, that's such a good question. I actually ended up hiring a publishing coach, and I think there's a much easier way to do this. And this is probably true of my entire life, is there's a way to, like, break trail with a machete, and then there's, like, tools and equipment that builds highways, right? And I tend to try and find that path of whatever that hasn't even been created yet. And so there's easier ways to do it. Like you create an outline first. And for me, that's why the book evolved as much as it did, because I was really gleaning from the books I had read and I was gleaning from the experience that I was having. Like I remember being in this frivolous lawsuit from a summer sales company while I was in a business law class. And I was learning more in the lawsuit, which I won, than the business law class, which I got like a C in. And so a lot of that for me was, the book is very anecdotal in terms of like, here's my experience. It's not just content. Like, here's what I learned. Here's how I learned it. Here's why I think it's important for you to know. And so a lot of it came naturally in that respect. It was just making sure, do I have all of the content? And then my family was just amazing. Like, you know, I did podcast episodes in my office. I was managing my time. I was working till 2 a.m. sometimes. Just, I found the time to do it, to not compromise. Because for me, I had 3 and then 4 kids and a very much a kind of an established lifestyle. And so it was a moonlight project for sure, but it was feeding everything I was doing anyway. So it kind of became my laboratory, if that makes sense. In fact, that's honestly how I've looked at my entire career. I've never been consistent or linear at all. Everything I've been doing, I've even left wildly lucrative opportunities because I felt like that's all I can gain from that right now. And I need more content. I need something else, because there will become a time in my life where I'm going to be standing in front of a group of people and they're going to need to be able to look at me and say, this isn't just some guy that read a book. This is a guy that lived a book. He lived it. And I believe everything he says when he speaks, because I know he's been there. So that's always been my approach to life, which financially or, you know, as far as any sort of, you know, accolades are concerned, it's the wrong way to do it, but it's the right path if you feel compelled to do something like that.
Are you guys getting this? Are you guys getting some of these like powerful principles that are being taught right now? I'm hearing so many things. I wish I was taking notes. I'm glad we're recording this, obviously, so I can listen to it back again, because I'm extracting all of these little strategies. You know, one of the things that this entire effort of life hacking is about is trying to accelerate achievement, accelerate success. You know, if you're writing a book, like how can you apply certain strategies, tools, or tactics to be able to do it faster so that you're not going on a zigzag path to where you want to go? And some of the things you're talking about, like, for example, hiring a publishing coach, which helped you obviously get through what you were doing a lot faster and in a more organized fashion, and probably cut a significant amount of time off of your ability to finish the book. And I'm hearing things like you're telling stories in there, not just content, but stories and the way that you've lived your life, which is authenticity, right? And I've heard it said that, you know, being authentic won't necessarily guarantee you success, but not being authentic will definitely guarantee that you're not successful.
For sure.
And yeah. Authenticity is key. And the fact that, you know, this wasn't something that in school, when you went to school, I mean, from all outside factors would have said that you're probably not going to be a successful author, you know, not being able to, being in the bottom third or however you'd mentioned that at BYU when you were
worse, but yeah,
worse. And here you are. And I've seen so many people that were told they couldn't do that. And all of a sudden they connected with something. And I definitely want to go into the principles of influence for sure, because I know there's a lot of people that are influencers or want to use that to learn more about how to be more influential in their roles in life. But before we go down that path, you know, what was that like for you in terms of basically you had to have thought, well, I can't really do this. And yet you did it anyways. And obviously have this successful book that you have out now. Like, what was that like for you to go from thinking you couldn't do it to all of a sudden accomplishing that? And what was sort of the shortened version of that journey?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have next to my degree is the rejection letter from that same school. Right. And I love that. I'm familiar with adversity. And I think speaking to the audience, and I don't know what the makeup of your audience is, but I think that one thing we can all relate to is varying levels of trauma and adversity in our lives. And I think so often there's not really an easy path for that. And as we pursue our careers, but to anybody that really feels like that block and that they constantly kind of feel like you run up into walls. And a lot of times those are personal walls, right? Like, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes, or I'm not a good writer. Just learning how to forgive and give yourself permission and to really work through that, to free yourself, it actually ends up becoming some of the most powerful gifts that you've been given. One of those for me is just a deep empathy, and my empathy for people and my desire to help people overrides the fear or insecurity that I might feel about being, you know, rejected or not being good enough. And that's always been true for me. So I found that fuel, I guess, in terms of like, I have a mission. If I want to not squander the experiences that I've experienced in my life and what I've learned in my life, I need to share it. And I need to help other people break through and get through those things and realize their potential in the same way that I feel God helped me do, because I struggled to find mentors in my life. So I had to find it this way. And there's just so many things I've learned that if I could go back and give myself, I would give myself this book. That's why I wrote it, because it's not easy, but we have to just find that purpose, something that's deeper than anything, more motivating than any amount of money or fame or whatever, and just let that drive you. And when you do that, as you talk about, you know, really aligning with your passion and just what you love to do, it kind of starts to just happen organically, and you find yourself breaking through and pushing through things. And it may take longer than you expect. And you look around and my gosh, it's so easy for some people. And you have to just kind of shut that down, put your blinders on and just say, this is my race. This is my journey. Because it's just as much your journey as it is the journey that you might help somebody else with. So that's not a very clear answer, but I think what I'm really saying is it's not easy. And I think we all have reasons that we struggle or have stopped in the past. And all I can say is find within you the reason why you still get up every morning, that thing that you know you want to do and you would do if you could do anything in your life, and just start getting on that path and you'll find a different level of motivation that you maybe not have had yet.
You know, you find a big enough why, and yeah, a truly big enough why, an emotional why, you can really push through anything. I mean, what drives me is I heard a quote, it was probably a year ago, and it was something to the effect of, the scariest day of your life is the day that you die, when the person that you are meets the person you could have become.
Ugh.
And that hit me so hard.
Oh yeah.
And I remind myself almost daily of that. And part of the problem was, at that time for me, I realized I was not the person I was meant to become. I was living way under my potential. I was not doing the things that I knew that I was feeling pulled or called to. And I always talk about how business is a calling, right? You're called to serve a people. And I was not doing that. I was not on that path. And I almost felt like, in a sense, and maybe you can relate to this, and maybe the audience can relate to this, that I was starting for the first time. It, like, life was beginning for me at that point. And I've been on this journey to relentlessly pursue. So that course of action that I needed to take in my life, so that the day I die, the person that I am and the person that I could have become is the same person. And that's hard to do. So let's jump into influence. Let's talk about some of these principles. Like, again, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of people in this audience want to be influencers, want to influence an audience or be an online influencer. Some want to use influence in terms of principles of leadership or even to improve their relationships in their career or in their business. Like, Tell me a little bit about some of the keys to influence. I know you talk about the three principles or three major laws of influence in your book. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. Maybe we can start there.
Yeah, that's great. So I think that there's kind of a fundamental principle, like, I guess, to get everybody enrolled, right? Like, everything we do, and I think I've noticed this as kind of a core tenet of life, of truth, is that everything we do involves interaction. Napoleon Hill said, nothing has ever been accomplished without the cooperation of other people, right? So we need collaboration to perform, to achieve. And so I've always been fascinated by communication. I took my first sales job thinking, I just want to master the art of communication. I want to become powerful in my ability to communicate. And that was my goal. Like, crazy, right? Some people go to make money. I'm like, I want to master communication. I want to become compelling. But what I noticed, though, is that for me, there's really three building blocks of every great company and leader and human being, or every great parent. It's the same. And the first one is purpose. There's this foundation of meaning, the why that you talk about. Mark Twain said, the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. So what is that purpose? Every great company knows their why. Like, Simon Sinek has a great book on this and topic on this, but knowing your purpose and what motivates you, what drives you, what brings you to life, like, all of the internal direction is purpose. And that's really the building block. Once you have that purpose, you know, in real estate, we call it your highest and best use, right? Then what can you do? Principle two is, how do you connect that connection? And so it's all of the sales principles of, how do we tell our story? How do we find those people that need our value? And how do we connect that value in a way that the value is greater than the cost? That's when people buy products. Like, you go to the grocery store And you don't need a rep. They're hard closing you on Hershey's versus Nestle. Like, you kind of know what you need. But in everything we do, there's this balance of value and cost. And as far as influence is concerned, your ability to create more value than perceived cost is what allows you to find results and success. And so what are all of the fundamentals that really go into the best sales performers, the best negotiators, the best presenters, and those with the greatest presence? And how do we really connect that purpose to our audience? And then the third one is just, it's action. It's initiative. It's all of the entrepreneurship, all of the innovation. Like, you have this amazing idea. I always like in my book to, and frankly, my approach to it as this wave, you know, on some remote island on the north shore of Hawaii. And there's no roads to it. There's no paths to it. Nobody knows it exists. And it can be the most epic wave. But if you can't create a path and a way to drive traffic to that, to promote it, to make it available, no one's ever going to get to experience it. And I think so often we have these brilliant ideas. We have this amazing purpose and this powerful storytelling capacity, but we don't take action and we don't build leverage or momentum or persist in adversity to actually break through and generate the freedom that comes from a momentum, right? And so the third section is just the initiative, the entrepreneurship, the action we take to actually make it happen and make it scale. And those are kind of the three building blocks. And when you put those together, perhaps the capstone to it is that no two people are alike. We can be similar, but we're not alike. And when you find your unique code, right, your propensity for influence, what makes you special, what makes you amazing, and you leverage and build these principles into your approach, that's when the magic happens. And that's really what it is. It's finding your path to influence, your path to realize your potential, not anybody else's, but yours. And that's my dream, is to really empower people to unlock their potential.
So, you know, when I talk to most people about potential and I ask them the question, you know, what's the potential of any human being? And most people will say, well, it's unlimited. But the truth is most people don't get what they want. Most people don't make the money that they want. Most people don't achieve the goals that they want. I mean, you look at the United States, and we're so goal-driven as a society in the sense that we do things like set New Year's resolutions, but 92% of all Americans break those resolutions by week 3 of January. So how can you, I think a lot of people do believe that they have a lot more potential inside of them. Like, how do you really extract that? How do you live your potential?
It's interesting. And I have an interesting response to that, at least where my mind went first. Dabrowski is an amazing, he's kind of like a Maslow in terms of his approach to understanding human nature. And he talks about this word endowment, which is not everybody was created with the same capacity and the same level. Like, we're not all Einstein, right? I can think of, you know, 3 billionaires right now that are all on their way to the, you know, to space, right? And we've seen 2 of them in the last 2 weeks. Amazing, right? But I may not have, whether you believe in God or whatever force, like, it may not be in my path or my passion to create a ton of wealth, like billions of dollars of wealth. And I guess I need to align with that, right? And understand that my capacity, my potential is important. Aristotle, I don't mean to overquote here, but like Aristotle said, knowing thyself is the beginning of all wisdom. So I think it's like, I always wanted to be a billionaire. I don't know why. I just felt like that meant that I've arrived in my life, that I'm finally okay. And it's amazing how many successful years and things I accomplished in my life where it was really hollow. It wasn't the same way I feel when I watch my kids progress or I learn, right? And so I started to finally relax, let go, and connect with what really drives me. And it wasn't like amazing wealth. Like, yeah, I want to have a very nice lifestyle, but I can do more with my words than I can with dollars, right? That's why I was put on this earth. That's one of my contributions. And so kind of a connecting and aligning back to what it is that's unique about us. And that brings back to kind of that why that we talked about before, but not everybody has the same path. But I think too often we compare ourselves to other people's races and it throws us off. There's no way it's going to work. And so I think the way to break through is to really take some time internally and just say, what do I really want? Like, what really matters to me? And am I willing to let go of all of the conditioning that I've been through in my life that makes me feel like I need to be that Instagram star or that gazillionaire? And am I really willing to let that go and do what I feel like I'm here to do? And that's part of it, because it's so hard to succeed in somebody else's race.
You're right. And you're the only one that can run your race in the way that you can. I mean, there's only one of you. And that's the one thing that separates us, is we're all individuals. And, you know, that's really leading into potential, which was sort of the first pillar that you talked about. And interestingly enough, and I remember having this feeling, about a month ago, I got a call from my daughter, who is a freshman in college. And she started talking about purpose. She was asking me questions like, I don't really know what I want to do with my life. I don't really know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm meant to become or meant to be. And so we had this interesting conversation, but I distinctly remember myself when I was 19, 18, 19, 21, and I had that exact same feeling. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I had no idea what purpose I had. I felt like I had a purpose in life and I really wanted to connect with that purpose, but I had no idea how to find it. And you mentioned earlier in the podcast, in the very beginning, going back to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell my daughter, or what would you tell your 18-year-old self now, you know, having gone through the stages of life that you have, on how to find and connect with your purpose?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a little story, and I don't want to lose track of, I get pretty jazzed when you ask me these questions. You're like a kid in a candy store. So if I get off track, bring me back here.
I will, but I'm just soaking this in, because this is good information.
You know, I think it comes down to value. And I'll give you a quick story. This is a few years ago, and my 8-year-old son at the time, he was upstairs and he was just having a meltdown. And as second oldest, I relate to this. We felt like we were the forgotten child, and he was just feeling like the world was against him that day. And I went upstairs and I just started talking to him, expecting there was some blow up had happened, but he just was sad and he just felt kind of lonely. And I just said, what would make you feel special, like really special? And he goes, Dad, I want to go camping. And I was like, seriously, camping? That's it? I'm like, okay, well, let's go. Let's go get the tent. Let's get the sleeping bags. Let's go grab two burritos at Cafe Rio. And we went to Snow Canyon, which is not far from where I'm at. It was 98 degrees outside. It was brutally hot. And we were sitting up there with a spotting scope. And we were just kind of like making fun of people that were doing weird things on different parts of this amazing place. And we were just sitting there having fun. The full moon came out. We were looking at it through the scope. And he just looked over at me. And he's like, Dad, I'm happy. And in that moment, like all of the attachment parenting books and everything you could read, there's myriads of books on parenting, but value and my purpose in that moment was to make my son feel important. And I did that through time. And all I needed to do was think about what makes me valuable as a father, what makes me valuable as an employee, right? Well, what's my job? What do they need me to do? What does the company need? Like, we focus on the value that we create. We understand our purpose in those roles. So going back to your daughter, I think that we have a natural inclination to create more value in things that we're naturally either drawn to or good at. So as we kind of take the Malcolm Gladwell, the 10,000 hours, we do what we love to do. We become better and better at that. And that self-propels because we enjoy it, right? And as we become better and better, that we become more valuable in that thing. And then it becomes a function of, how do I create value with this that I have? And in each of the roles that you're in, you look at and you say, what is my opportunity to create value here? And how do I maximize that value? That's the secret. Some people know what that is early and they go after it and they become tennis stars and amazing, you know, NFL players and brilliant brain surgeons. Other people are trying to impact people, right? But at the end of the day, you've got to really bring in the experts, even if you leverage outside resources and say, what am I good at? Like, what am I naturally talented at, predisposed to do? What am I passionate about? And I think you start to find the evidence of your purpose. And if you're wrong, you'll know really quickly, but you have to take action to find out for sure. So,
you know, I know when I was in college and I still didn't know what my purpose was, I was trying to define it. And I really was asking the question, how can I make money? Mm-hmm. I got married in college. I had a couple of kids before I graduated from college. And I wanted to know how I could make money, because I was concerned as a father, I'm going to have to provide, I'm going to have to feed them, I'm going to have a home, insurance, all of these things. And I think that clouded me, because one of the things I asked my daughter is, I said, hey, if you had all the money in the world at your age, what would you do with your life? Who would you be? Who would you want to become? Yeah. And sometimes we get so caught up in how much money we want to make, we let whatever that is define what our purpose is or what we want to do for a career. When you take that out of the equation, it sort of clears the mind to, wow, if I had all the money in the world, what would I actually do with my life? And for me, I love building people. I love helping people accomplish their dreams, right? And so what did I do? I started an ad agency. I helped build businesses, but ultimately I helped businesses from the outside in that helped build people, because I saw when I was able to help grow a business, I saw what it did for the owner's life. I saw them have the ability to hire more employees. I saw their employees' lives change because, you know, the more successful a business is, the more resources and opportunity and benefits that that business can provide. And so for me, I started to realize my purpose of building people through marketing and advertising, by building businesses, you know, and a lot of us, including myself, a lot of what we do is fueled by the businesses that we own and the businesses that we run. I know, for example, I'm a much better father when business is going great. Maybe it shouldn't be that way, but I am. I mean, I come home much more jazzed when we're growing and thriving and things are going well. We're hiring employees like we are now. I feel like I'm on cloud nine and I'm a much better father and I'm a much better husband when I do that. And, you know, so it's interesting when you talk about value, and a lot of times, I don't know that we think so much about value, but one of the things that's really about cool about value, and I sort of extracted this from some of the things you said, is that there's a way that you can provide value in a manner that's uniquely you and unique to your superpowers, your traits, ultimately your purpose. So I appreciate that. Now, you mentioned the second part is connecting. So once you kind of know and understand what your purpose is, what do you connect that to? Is it, do you take your purpose and connect it to a career, connect it to certain actions? I mean, tell me a little bit about the connection part of that.
Yeah. So, and I think there's just, I want to kind of quickly comment on one thing you said there. And because I think there's a lot of listeners, like, because I get a lot of this feedback on social media is like, I don't know what my purpose is. And it seems really easy. Like, it's fun to talk about and it seems super idealistic, but like, what do I actually do now? And that's why I love value so much, because it's like, if you're not happy in your job right now, just create so much value in that role and another opportunity will present itself, either a promotion. Like, when you focus on doing the best you can in the place you're at, opportunities come. And sometimes that means moonlighting. Like, I have clients that come in to meet with me for something and we end up completely shifting their career because we realize that they couldn't create the value they wanted to create in the role that they were in. And so they needed to adapt. And so I think kind of connecting that now to connection, you know, you take somebody that's interviewing for a job, right? Like, you can have all of this skill. And I think what's interesting is how we deliver and communicate that is the connection that we do. So it's not so much connecting our value as much as obviously we have this audience that we rely on for whatever it is. So let's take an interview as an example. Most people that go to get a job, they go into the job interview, they polish up their resume and they drop down this hammer of, here's everything I've accomplished in my life, right? Seems logical. That's kind of what every resume is. I've never made it to the interview stage of a job without getting the job. And the reason is because I understood something different that very few people were thinking about, which was, this company ultimately doesn't care who I am. They are focused on the problem that they have. And as connection works, my ability to demonstrate that, yeah, I'm qualified, but that's not really important. The resume was already kind of looked at and it's passed. Now it's my job to demonstrate that I have the ability to solve their problem. And as you connect people with their problems, with their needs, not what you've accomplished or who you are, but what they need, you find this amazing ability to connect deeper with people and they see you differently and you stand out above everybody else because you're speaking their language, not your language. And you know this with marketing and branding, everything you do in your agency is storytelling, right? It's the ability to find the villain, and the hero of the story is always the customer. It's never us,
right?
We're just guiding them to the solution, right? And if you can think that way, as you connect with people, tell your story, share your company, whatever that is, work with your kids, that's what really creates powerful connection. Yeah, presence is great. Dressing nice, all of those things are important, but they will never trump your ability to deliver powerful value to people that understand it and need it in the language that they understand.
Well, and we live in a world of getting, getting, getting. I want to make more money. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I'll never forget. I think it was a Date with Destiny last year with Tony Robbins when he said something that really connected with me. And he said that your life will change the day when you start focusing on what you can give rather than what you can get. And then he goes on to talk about how if you're able to do more for others than anyone else is willing to do, then you win every time. And that is value right there, is giving, not getting. And you're talking about a deeper connection with people. I believe that deeper connection comes when you're serving, when you're truly serving. I believe that creates much more of a connection when you're just getting. I mean, we all know when people are trying to sell us And we know, you know, they're in it for themselves versus serving or versus influencing. We love to be influenced. We don't love to be sold. Yeah. But that to me is the difference between getting and giving or truly providing service.
I love it. So true. Well said.
Well, I know we're about out of time. What are the insights that you gained from your book that really could help the audience improve their ability to influence others?
I think the one that kind of jumps to mind is mentorship. Like, I was a lone wolf in so much of my life. And I think the ability to model performance, like if you're not where you want to be in your life and you're stuck or you're just not optimized for lack of a better word, there's so many things you can do. But I think what's most important first is to figure out, what do I want? Like, what does optimize look like? What does success look like for me? What does happiness look like for me? And define that first. You need to know where you're going, right? And what matters to you. And then find the people in the world that epitomize that, right? That truly exemplify kind of what you deem to be most important. And then reach out and talk to those people or find people along that path. I think so often we don't take that step of getting outside and really engaging. And I think there are so many people that are willing to help and mentor us. And if we're just willing to get out there and ask. And so I think a big piece for me is seek mentorship in your life, like really find champions for you that can really promote and support you and that believe in you and that see you and that can help you become you, because it's not easy. There's way too much resistance out there for that. So you need a powerhouse. You need a team that's behind you. And so I think, I mean, in the quest to find you, it seems scary. It seems rather nebulous to say, oh, I'm going to fulfill my purpose, but you're already on that path because you're listening to this podcast as an example. So everybody's on the path, but I think we need to just sometimes take a step back and ask better questions. Tony Robbins, that's definitely a Tony Robbins-ism. Yep. Is just ask great questions. If you don't like where you're at, ask better questions. I always ask for first class flights. I got free tickets to the Monaco Grand Prix. It goes on and on and on because I believe my expectations are always bigger and I'm learning how to ask for things that most people don't ask for. And I know that I get opportunities and results that most people can't get merely because, not because of anything, but my expectation of life. But sometimes you don't know that until you let other people that have already been there show you the path.
Love that. One more important question. As you mentioned, okay, your 18-year-old self, if you were to go back to your 18-year-old self and you're looking face to face with yourself from when you were 18 years old, what would you say?
Okay, well, let's see. The obvious, buy Apple stock, buy, jump in on Amazon early and then get out. Yeah. What would I have told myself? This one's going to be a different answer than I think you're probably expecting, but I would have said, you've got this. Like, forgive, like just not forgive, but it's give yourself permission to succeed. Don't hold yourself back. Find a few mentors that really see you and grab a hold of them. That I think would have been, but you know what, Eric, I don't know, like the pain of my life and the challenge of my journey is so beautiful in retrospect, but I think I probably would have just told myself to just don't be afraid to start at the bottom. I was always trying to be the best, you know, and be okay. And I was okay. I just needed to probably slow it down and really maximize, you know, the learning stages. I tried to skip too much and a mentor would have probably helped me with that. But I guess that's probably what I would have said is you're good enough. You've got this. Just go pay the price.
You know, I'm glad
it worked out the way it did. So,
and anytime I've ever talked to anybody that's in their 60s or 70s and you ask them a question like that, their answer is usually pretty simple. It's like, it will work out. It always works out. And that is so hard when you're in the middle of the storm, you know, when there's clouds around you, thunder and lightning, but you know, eventually there's blue sky above it, right? The sun's always shining above the clouds and eventually you break through. It is really hard. And every time I've asked people that have gone through pain and challenges like you, I ask them two questions. Number one, would you like to go through it again? And everyone says no. And then I ask the second question, would you ever wish it away? I've never had a single person tell me that they would wish away a challenge. In fact, last year I was speaking at a conference and there were a lot of real estate professionals in there, a lot of builders. And I asked them this question about the crash of 2008. And I said, would you like to relive 2008, 2009 again? And every one of them said no. And then I said, would you wish it away? And not a single hand went up. Because we know that even though as tough and as challenging as it was, it built us to who we are. And frankly, without having gone through those things, without being stronger because of it, we couldn't attain the next level of success in our lives without having that experience. So really appreciate your time today. This was incredible information. How can we get a hold of your book and learn more about what you have to teach us?
I love it. Thank you. So easiest way to connect is bradharker.com, bradharker.com. You can find my book it's on Audible. If you're going to buy the book, just reach out to me on my website and let me get it to you that way. Sometimes Amazon can be a little bit kludgy that way. Or if you ever I did this once on a podcast, Order of Man, with Ryan Mickler, who's actually used to be from our area. Anyways, I gave my phone number on the podcast and it was the craziest thing I've ever done, but it's actually been the most amazing conversations that I've ever had. So you can take it out if you want, but my phone number is 435-817-8241. Text me and I would love to chat with you. I would love to see where that goes. If I can help you in any way, even if it's just being a champion for you, I would love to help you. But connect with me at bradharker.com and I would be absolutely thrilled to help you in your journey.
Fantastic. And just so you know, that's the first time anybody's ever given out a phone number on a podcast. I love it. Hey, I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate what you're doing for others. The fact that you took the time to write the book. I mean, I'm super, super impressed. And I got to tell you, I'm excited to review this podcast because I learned a ton from it. So thanks again. I appreciate you.
Eric, I appreciate this. It's not easy to do podcasting. It's a lot of work. It's a labor of love. And so, I mean, kudos to you as well. I mean, I think we come from a similar mold and I'm very inspired by the work you're doing. And I'm very grateful to be on the show with you today. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys, podcast every Monday and every Thursday. So we will see you on the next episode. Thanks.